Welcome to the Catholic Link podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams, and I am joined today by Father George Elliott. Father George, it's great to have you on.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Father.
Big thank you to our sponsor, the Catholic Institute of Technology, forming the next generation of saints, scientists, and scholars. More about them at the end of the episode. We are now in our third episode of the month, which means that we are talking about prayer and spirituality. And this is not as directly related to prayer and spirituality, but it's still kind of, relevant. And it's sort of the relation between spirituality and mental health. And here's a little bit of what I mean. There are some people that I've heard, I hear this a lot, and I've got a small parish, so I'm sure that means it's probably wider in the Catholic world. We have some people who say that mental health is everything, right? That spirituality is just really my personal relationship with God. It's about me and the church, but mental health is a completely separate thing. And it's exactly kind of, that's what people need is mental health. And if you're religious, you can develop your relationship with Jesus through spirituality. I have people on the other side who say things that are equally crazy. And they'll say something like, well, we don't really need mental health. We need like a good confession. Like, we just need some good, healthy priest time, Jesus time. And since man is made in the image and likeness of God, if we can just get that right, boom, our mental health will go away. But I'm sure that there's probably something in the middle that's a lot more well-rounded that sort of keeps both ends of that spectrum. What do you think, Father George?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a similar thing. And I have to be honest that even, you know, when I'm giving spiritual direction and things of the sort, I kind of struggle with this balance as well and trying to figure out, you know, where are the lines and, you know, what is the best way to approach certain of these things? Yeah, I work a few principles or a few concepts ordinarily. So when it comes to mental health things, like there are certain things in which it's really just a biological problem, right? Like somebody's body is not producing the right amount of whatever or too much of whatever. And at that point, you know, it doesn't matter how much you pray, you know, barring an absolute miracle, which miracles by their definition don't ordinarily happen.
By definition.
Yeah. If they always happen, then they wouldn't be miracles, right? Then like they actually, instead of a psychologist, they actually need a psychiatrist, right? Like we need medicine to step in and help with this. And then kind of from there, I find a lot of mental health issues are in fact issues of dealing with lies, right? For a lot of psychology, which obviously is the psychology, the study of the soul, which is essentially kind of a similar thing to spirituality. What's really going on is that somebody has accepted a lie on a very deep level. Mm. And needs to be freed from that lie. And that may be a lie about themselves, maybe a lie about God, it may be a lie about the world, it may be a lie about certain people, it may be a lie about certain actions, whatever it may be, they have accepted a lie on a very deep, deep level. That is what good mental health professionals help them to see and to let go of.
Hmm.
Now, obviously, the devil is the father of lies, right? And I think when it comes to mental health, right, which obviously when you think of mental, it's almost, we should think very strongly of the intellect. And, you know, the purpose of the intellect is to know the truth. And so really their job is to kind of help overcome that darkness of the intellect that is an effect of original sin, to get the people to get their clients to really know the truth in the fullest way.
Mm.
And so
I think that's really, sorry. I just think it's really interesting because I think the lies people, when we say lies as two priests, I think people think that we're always talking about like faith or sin or something, but it could be something that falls not exactly within the religious box, but it could be something like the idea, like I'm a burden and everybody thinks I'm just terrible.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm unlovable. People want to, you know, all people are bad. all people are, want to use me. All people, you know, have, you know, their own self-interest. Heck, even all people are good, right? Some people think that. It's like, well, I mean, they're all good insofar as God created them and all that. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are trying to just abuse you, and you need to, you know, put up barriers.
Yeah, the pessimist in me finds this completely exotic and weird. Like, yeah, all okay, people are great. You're like, right, but I'm like, I feel like a cat doing a side eye or something. I'm just like, what are you?
Yeah. And so moving to the last part of the concept in my brain in regard to like, okay, so does, you know, where's the line between mental health and spirituality? I think when people say like, oh, if you just pray enough and read the Bible enough and go to confession enough, then you don't need a psychologist or you don't need the tools of psychology. I think they've kind of missed it. Mm. Right. That like, no, the tools that mental health does provide, they actually really, I mean, the good ones, right? There are some really crazy mental health stuff out there, but the good ones, they should help us to embrace the truth, who ultimately is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so to a degree, like, okay, does, you know, God have to do with this whole mental health thing? And therefore, is it in a certain sense spirituality? Yes. But do the traditional methods of, you know, what we refer to as the spiritual life, prayer, sacraments, things of that sort, do they just simply automatically fix mental health issues? No.
Read the lives of the saints and you'll find out that they were, while they were holy and they certainly made it to heaven, which is the most important thing, we would probably not call many of them stable, you know?
Right.
Like, I know this is a hot take.
That's why we write books about them.
Like, I remember there was a time when I didn't have my little devotional reading for adoration. And so someone had left a copy of Butler's Lives of the Saints in the church lobby. And yeah. I just picked up like one random volume of it. And I read about like this woman. I forgot her name. I'm so sorry. She could like levitate. And during the consecration, she would just like hang out on the ceiling. Like a bat.
Yes.
And you're like, that's weird. You know, like something weird. Even if God gave you the gift of levitation to be like, you know, I'm going to hang upside down from the rafters like a bat. Like, you know, I'm like, well, that's you, man. Like, you can't blame God for that. That one's on you.
The upside down bit. That's your thing.
but, you know, I think that it is interesting because we do have to admit that in some way, like holiness and wholeness are not always the same. Mm-hmm. Ideally, holiness produces health, right? Because like you said, there's one truth that everything is, you know, connected to Jesus Christ in that way. But it's still true that we're just very broken and we can have elements of the truth and other elements we don't allow to develop correctly, either through circumstance, through providence, or through sin, that you're just not as developed in this one area. And I think that those are cases where, I don't know, like I feel like I think people need both. I think they need, it would be a mistake to say that a relationship with God, that your nature is being made in the image and likeness of God, is just sort of like something personal for you. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't have any bearing on your life. The church really seems to think like it does, that if I'm made in the image and likeness of God, if I don't have that as a part of my life, then like I'm going to suffer.
Right. Yeah. Like we were made for the life of grace. And without that, we actually don't reach our highest fulfillment or our highest purpose, our total fulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah. Or happiness, even to use the word, you know, like.
Yeah. This here is on earth, too, right? Not just eternal happiness, but actually.
Right. It's what we're made for.
Yeah.
So I think there's that. But the other thing I don't know, maybe I just keep going back to like the bigger issue of the problem because I'm just trying to understand it with the Catholic tools that I have. Uh-huh. And one of them that I think is really interesting is it's the Catholic belief about exactly how the soul and the body work together.
Yeah.
While we do admit that they're distinguishable, that like the soul is not the same thing as the body, we still sort of think of them as one thing. The body-mind unity.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, neither is a thing in itself, right? It's the person, which is body mind, is the thing.
Right.
Parts of the thing.
Right. Right. So the reason I say that is because if there's a problem with the body, either with the, like the chemical side of things, or a problem with the body ingrained through habit.
Mm.
So like you said about believing things that are wrong, acting wrongly, responding to stimuli wrongly, those things create habits and patterns. And we know that they actually create new neural pathways and literally change the brain.
Mm.
And so the soul is not immune from that development. The body and the soul work together. They flow together. So that if you do mess up your mind, your soul is going to not necessarily suffer, but your soul is going to have to work with that. It's not like, because I remember in seminary, they said something, I thought it was, this is stupid, and I'm gonna go as harsh as I can. In my very first year of seminary, I was like a solid 19 years old. And one of the older students, I was like, man, I was tired. I had just done schoolwork for hours and hours and hours. And he was like, you should be able to keep going. And I was like, yeah, I'm not as diligent maybe as I should be. He was like, no. Studying is a spiritual power and the soul is not affected by tiredness. And so you really just need to learn the real source of what you're doing. And I was like, no.
I also have to keep my eyeballs open and continue to read.
Right, like eyeballs, brain, physical body, like all that stuff is very much a part of studying. If you don't believe me, go and take some anesthesia and tell me all about how your mind is a separate thing that is completely different from your body. And like, yeah, it doesn't work like that. And I think based on that connection between mind and body, I actually think we need to take care of both. That mm-hmm. while the secular world is kind of, from my read on things, I think the secular world has really dived really deep on the cognitive behavioral therapy route.
Mm-hmm.
That like every feeling, every experience is based on a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just change the thought, we can change the experience. I don't fully believe that. Just philosophically, I think sometimes you just have brain burps that they just happen. It just, and I'm a kind of OCD person, and I can tell you that you get all kinds of crazy thoughts. Or as a priest, you'll hear scrupulous people come and confess their wild thoughts they have, and you're like, no man, like you would do better just not to give that any attention, just to say it's a brain burp.
Yeah.
I remember an old priest told me one time, he's like 88 years old. And he was like, have you ever thought about knocking the tabernacle over in your church? And I said, no. He was like, well, if that thought came to you, what would you do? And I was like, I would ignore it and be like, well, that was weird. He's like, correct. It does not mean that you hate the Lord and you're full of blasphemous rage. It just means that you had a weird thought. And you move on.
Yeah, and perhaps that's a good segue to one last idea that bounces around in my head about mental health and spirituality. That sometimes because of a certain amount of woundedness that we have, and kind of the patterns and habits that we have developed around that to just mm-hmm. continue existing. We can't deal with the real problem, like the thing that we can't deal with the lie essentially that we've accepted, because we have so many coping mechanisms around it. Mm-hmm. And actually, what the mental health can do, what a psychologist can really help with, or a therapist can really help with, is helping the person to kind of cope with the stress of that in a different way. Such mm-hmm. that actually then we can go in and heal that deeper thing and get rid of those lies. And I think people who emphasize spirituality too much also that therefore downplay what are really healthy coping mechanisms and ways to kind of reduce the anxiety around certain things so that really the truth of Christ can enter into those things. And I think that's kind of like one last area that I really see as particularly important with mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and I think you're exactly right. And just my experience as a pastor says you're right, because there's times when people come to me and I really want to tell them, like, you might want to go see somebody. It's not that you're crazy. And I think people might hear that. It doesn't mean that. It's just sort of my spidey sense as a confessor sometimes tells me, like, I'm in over my own head.
Mm-hmm. Like, and in both ways, right? Not only kind of in our own formation of like, ooh, there's something not spiritual and big going on here, but also just the amount of time that we can dedicate to that person. Right? If you're meeting with a therapist, you're usually going to meet with them for more or less an hour a week. But there are a few priests that can actually sit down and meet with everybody that needs that time for an hour.
Especially after Mass.
Right. Yeah. After Mass or in the confessional or, you know, whatever it may be. And so, yeah, you know, the mental health professionals, they're limited. Priests are limited. However, not seeing the two as these kind of two opposed things, but rather kind of attacking the one whole from the two different sides.
Yeah.
Seems to be the balanced way to look at it.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad that we have solved another problem of the world, but I think it's important, and I hope our listeners will understand that this is just trying to frame the way that you think about it. It's trying to frame sort of your understanding of prayer and your understanding of how it works. Because I think if we go into it, it's not just a kind of arcane to mystic point to say, like, well, the nature of the body is such that, like, it doesn't mean that. It just means, like, we want to give our listeners the tools to live out a good, an integral, and a holy life. And you don't do that by cutting out important things, you know? And I think that I just want people to appreciate that, just like the same way that I want the secular world to appreciate that a relationship with God is not optional. It's not just window dressing, you know, that I want people to see that the full human picture is necessary for full human flourishing. That sounded a lot better when I wrote it in my head, but still.
Sounded great.
There we go. There we go. Well, I think that's all the time we have today. Our episode today was sponsored by the Catholic Institute of Technology, an American Catholic research university located in the heart of the church in Rome, Italy. Catholic Tech's curriculum integrates the rigors of technical education with moral and spiritual formation in theology and philosophy. Students emerge as impactful leaders in STEM, poised to contribute to research and new technologies. To learn more about this innovative institution as a prospective student, parent, or supporter of faith in science, visit catholic.tech. Join the community of aspiring saints, scholars, and scientists at the Catholic Institute of Technology. This has been the Catholic Link Podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams, and I am very grateful for you stopping in to listen. I was joined by Father George Elliott. You can find all of our previous material over at catholiclink.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.